Hi, I'm Todd Butler, and you're listening to Living on Purpose.
Welcome to Living on Purpose. My name is Lynn. You're listening to the music of Michael Waters. This is from his new CD, Famous in Mongolia, and this track is called Shining Bird. Welcome to today's show. I have a special presentation for you today, a combination of pre-recorded conversation along with my guest live on the phone in the second hour. And my guest today is Toling Jennings. Toling has shown up in so many communities up and down this coast since the 1970s, as you will hear in the upcoming recording, that his name is so well known, even if people haven't met him, many have heard of his name. When I've asked people lately if they know of him, either they say, oh yes, or they squint up at the sky and muse, that name sounds familiar. Well, this is true for me as well. Having lived on the island and the coast here for 28 years, I've heard of Toling Jennings, and I knew he was involved in a specific kind of healing work and that he's based on Laskiti Island. But otherwise, until recently, Toling has been an enigma wrapped in mystery for me. Listeners suggested to me that I consider having Toling as a guest on Living on Purpose, and so I gave him a call. In fairly short order, we decided that the best approach would be for me to visit him and his partner, Kay Meyer-Bakhtal, on Laskiti and have lunch and a Shinshin Do session and see what it's all about. Like many of you, I'd never been to Laskiti either, the mythic isle that has no car ferry and is off the grid, only alternative forms of energy there. So it was a total adventure that I experienced in late April of this year. I took the foot passenger ferry over from French Creek, takes about an hour, and was met at the dock by Toling. We walked up the hill and along the road to the home he built, and for the last 2 years shares with Kay. We all immediately felt a familiarity with each other, as though we had met many times before, and perhaps we have, meeting anew in this lifetime. In the first of these recordings, you can picture Toling with his long silver beard and hearty laugh, sharing stories, information, and ideas with me, in the sitting room, which is next to the open kitchen, where Kay is listening in as she prepares a nourishing lunch for us to eat, before my first session with Toling. So I'll be weaving my voice along with music by Michael Waters through these pre-recorded segments in the first hour, and then in the second hour, Toling will be on the phone with me from Laskiti to fill in the spaces beyond what we recorded during my visit.
I moved to Laskiti on the evening of December 21st, 1979. So I basically moved in here on the 1st of January of 1980. So I've been here for 26 years. When I moved here, there was about 170 people on the island, about less than half of what there is now. And it was much more rural and basic than what you see. There were no services here at all. Very, very basic. I originally came here back in 73. And I had built a sailboat, and I sailed in here and completed the interior of it then and got to know what was happening on the island. I was totally fascinated by what was happening here because there was a bunch of young people here in their late teens, early 20s. They were all living in plastic shacks or old homesteads that were pretty run down, and nobody had any money. It was a huge like family scene happening here. Nobody had any kids, but I mean, everybody get together and play music. If there was a party, people would sort of like, because nobody had any cars or anything, we'd like all gather at somebody's house down island, but you'd mostly get there by boat. People would come in by boats from hither, thither, and yon, and people would walk down to the party, and the party would start on Thursday afternoon. It would end sometime Wednesday. The following week, you know, I mean, you just, everybody bring food and we'd camp out and party and do music and form new relationships, and it was all quite wonderful. There's a fellow named David Stanhope that was running a food co-op out of here with Fed Up Co-op, food co-op back in those days, and he had a boat called the Betty L that he was running food back and forth to here and other places, and I was working with Fed Up through a sailboat called the Desonequa that used to run, it was a 60-foot brigantine rigged sailboat that used to run food up the other side of Texada up to different communities. And I got in with them and met David, and he said, you got to come and see what's going on this island. So I was promoting rock and roll bands in Vancouver at the time, and it looked like a really good idea. So I tied my sailboat onto the back of the Betty L and cruised in here one day with David and took a look at it. I could see that it was really quite a special opportunity, because there was no car ferry, there was no hydro here, there was no paved roads. Mm-hmm. The community was seeking a type of lifestyle that most people were trying to get away from. I mean, they were trying to get back into the woods, where most people were trying to centralize at the time. Mm-hmm. It looked really good. But I was adventuresome, so I finished outfitting my boat and sailed north and spent the next 7 years sailing the coast of British Columbia. I sailed from here to Bella Coola, poking my nose into every little gunk hole. Like, this is on a 16-foot sailboat. Sailed around up to there, and then back down around the south end of Vancouver Island and up the west coast of Vancouver Island to Tofino. And eventually I bought a piece of land in Hot Springs Cove and lived there for 3 years, mm-hmm. built a house, had my first child there. But it became really obvious that I couldn't live that isolated with a family. I took my daughter to the Seattle Zoo one time when we were down visiting Grandma. She was running. She could have cared less about the animals. I mean, we were living on the west coast above Tofino, and there was cougars and bears, and there were more mink and otters and sea lions. I mean, wild animals were not a problem, right? But what my daughter did was run around, and she'd run up to these children, and she'd throw her arms around them, and she'd look at me and said, Dad, look, there's kids here. It's like, maybe this bush life isn't what my daughter needs. So we moved into Tofino. I lived there actually until it was time to go to school, and I didn't feel I could put my daughter in the school that was there. And I remembered that on Mosquito, there was this real possibility for open access to the school and parental input on a major level. So I moved back here in 1980 with, at that time, my one daughter was just 4 and my youngest was 3 months old or something. And we moved into a place called the Swamp Farm, and I started building this place. Started with the sauna that you saw. That was the first structure I put up there. That sauna was originally put up in Vancouver. It's made from the interior of a thing that was called the New Age Community Center on 4th Avenue, which I designed and built with a bunch of materials, recycled mostly. And when that folded up, I built a sauna up at 13th and Sassamet in Vancouver out of the interior of this structure. Then when I moved from there, I took the whole thing and moved it out onto Chesterman's Beach, below Tofino there. Mm-hmm. And then when we moved here, the first thing I did was brought that sauna in and built the sauna here, which was definitely the best move I could have made. Of all the things that I've done on this island, that sauna has been the most powerful tool of transformation, without a doubt. More insights, more transformations have happened in that sauna than all the other stuff I've done. It's fired up twice a week, Wednesdays and Sundays, and it's open to whoever wants to come. Mm-hmm. Even if we're not here, like there's a group of people that comes by and lights up the sauna and they bring firewood and the chanting happens or whatever. It's a very open, free space, and you never know what's going to go on down there. And just about everything you can imagine has gone on down there. So anyway, I built the sauna and then started on this house. This structure was mostly built out of the woods, like most of the beams and the all the structure for the house has come from the woods around here. I designed and built houses for years. Of course, people wouldn't let me build things like this, so, no. You know, what'll the resale value be? Don't all skylights leak? I mean, you know, there's like 15 skylights in this house. So built the house, and while that was happening, got together with a lady, and we had 5 children together, so that's why the house is the size it is. I realized much later on that I didn't intend to build a house this size. I was going to build a little cottage in the woods, you know, back to the land, very energy conscious, low key. I wasn't going to have any electricity. Like, I'd been living in Hot Springs without any power for years and lived on the boat for years, and I didn't have any power there. I ran on kerosene and whatnot. So I really wanted to have a very low key thing. Well, you know, teenage girls, it's amazing how your children create your reality. Anyway, the power came along, and one thing led to another, and here we are in this palace. Yeah. But I realized that what was really happening was that I was creating a center so that people could come here and billet. And as we teach classes, you know, we can billet three or four people in private rooms, or if there's a couple of couples, we can billet as many as six people here to mm-hmm. come and take workshops. When I look back on it, you know, what was I really doing? Well, I was creating a center where this kind of work could happen.
Yeah, welcome to the world of Tolling Jennings. So that's the first of a few segments I'm going to play for you here in the first hour on Living on Purpose. We're going to carry on now with some more insights from Tolling.
Well, we were just talking this morning about that major transformation that's happening in our peer group. The ones who enjoyed 1967 in San Francisco, you know, that's getting to be a while ago now. If they continued on that lifestyle, most of them are croaking because it was a pretty intense lifestyle. Just the different rock musicians that are dying at this stage, and a lot of the folks who are passing, it just brings up that whole thing around mortality and how ephemeral this whole life experience is. I mean, it's just such a blink of an eye and we're gone. And that energy, living in that scene, I can remember when Life magazine came out with that whole expose on hippie creating this mythological creature that had these particular life habits and whatnot. And we actually searched and searched and searched and couldn't find any of these creatures, you know. It was a total media creation. And the ones of us who were actually living in that sort of world, we couldn't understand how they could come up with some of these concepts. We were all working our asses off just to survive. I never worked so hard as I did during that time of my life, just trying to keep it together and, you know, make ends meet and stay alive. That whole culture was such a magical moment. I used to think that everybody was experiencing that particular revolution in lifestyles, family. I mean, really what was happening there was we were redefining family and the relationship of family. That's really the major sociological adventure that was happening there. And with that redefinition came a renaissance of a different kind of lifestyle. Not that it hadn't always been around. I mean, the battle between you know, hippie and Mayor Daley in Chicago is the same battle that was going on between Jesus Christ and Pontius Pilate. Mm-hmm. It's always been that same issue around the Cavaliers and the Roundheads. I mean, this is not a new thing. It's around freedom, self-expression, mm-hmm. and towing the party line. I mean, it's really simple. It's that the difference between the Yang society, which is power over, follow the party line, do as you're told, we know how it's, but you know, that whole train of thought, and the yin experience. I mean, this is the basic dichotomy. Are you going to honor the earth? Are you going to be more yin? Are you going to lean towards balance and acceptance? And or are you going to be more yang and be power over, and we know how it's supposed to be, and we can manipulate the planet and use, conquer nature? How did that work? Oh boy, we won. We die. I mean, you know. Boy, we sure got nature down now. I mean, yeah, right. Well, she's back. She's mad. You know, she's really quite pissed, and she's going to take care of this minor problem. And I look at that, and, you know, that consciousness hasn't changed. You look around this island, these beautiful young people that live on this island, and they're in tune with nature, as it were. They grew up in this culture, which is truly the one thing that we've passed on, I think, that really will have some lasting effect. It's not so much about what we said. It's more about what we did and the lifestyle that we created here and passing that on to this next generation who really appreciate it.
We're going to carry on now with some more insights from Tolling.
The five elements. The five elements is a philosophical perspective of how energy transforms into matter and the nature with which it does that. The five elements are water, wood, fire, earth, and metal. In 25 words or less, I'm talking the philosophy of how the universe works, right? Water grows the wood. Wood feeds the fire. The ashes that are created in the fire are what creates the earth. The ashes compress, and in the ashes, the metal is created. And off of the metal, the water precipitates out. That's the generation cycle. So water creates wood, wood creates fire, fire creates earth, earth creates metal, and metal creates water. Okay. Then there's the control cycle. Water controls fire, just like putting water on fire. Fire controls metal, just like heating up metal and melting it. Metal controls wood, and boy, did we ever get that one together, eh? And wood controls earth, just like the roots of a tree hold the earth on the hillside, or you can build retaining walls out of wood, whatever. And earth controls water. So when it rains, the earth holds the water. Or as water runs along, it goes between earth and banks, you know, the shoreline, the water. So the generation cycle shows you how creativity happens. And the control cycle shows you how there's moderation, how things are kept from getting out of control. I'll give you an example here. In the generation cycle, in the water element, each one of these elements has a time of year, a time of day, a color, an emotion. There's different attributes that are associated with each element. The water element, for instance, is where inspiration or intuition lives, willpower. So this is where you get that aha, or gee, I'd really like to, or I've always wanted to, right? And this comes from your dreams or from past karmic adventures. So you get an idea that you want to put a garden in. But you happen to get this idea in February, and it's minus 12 outside. So it's not a good time to go out and start planting seeds, right? But it is a great time to draw out your garden, to plan how it's going to be, order your seeds, get everything ready, so that when breakup comes and the sun comes out and the soil's ready, which is springtime, wood, you can go out and plant your seeds. So you get the ground ready, you plant your seeds, you make the decisions and plans. That's all about wood energy. Plant the stuff and it starts to grow. And when it starts to grow, this is the height of wood energy, that growth, breaking through, new opportunities, reaching for the sun. As it grows, the plants begin to bloom. Fire is all about blooming. It's all about experiencing your spirit energy and actually bringing that energy out into the world. So, you know, when you look at a tulip or when you look at a rose or a rhododendron, you look at those flowers, it just raises your spirits. And you can see that there's hope in the world, and it just, you know, oh, smell that rose, eh? Oh, God, yeah. So that's the spirit part. That's the fire part. Crops that you've planted begin to fruit. They flower, they get fertilized, and then they start to fruit. And the fruiting part of it is the earth part. You've had your inspiration. You've done the work to get the garden in. The garden has bloomed. You get all that wonderfulness of the blooming experience. Then it starts to create fruit, which is your bounty. So you get to harvest and enjoy the fruits, literally, of your labors. And then it all starts to go to seed. You have to store this stuff if you're going to make it through the winter. Like, you have to harvest and store things. You have to go in and clear out the pantry from all the old, you know, sprouting potatoes and all the wonderful things you find in the corners. Then you store your harvest and you get ready for wintertime. Then the winter comes and you get to live off of the harvest and get your new inspirations. That's how the generation cycle works in terms of growing a garden. If you looked at it in terms of building a house, you'd get your inspiration, you'd draw up your plans, you'd order the materials, you'd pour the foundations in the springtime, you'd work on it all through summer, autumn, which is the earth time, you get the doors and windows in, you get it locked up, you move in the autumn, bring in your goodies, and you got it together for the winter time. So it's that kind of experience. Now, this also holds true with blinking your eye. You think about blinking your eye, you start to open your eye, you open your eye, you see what's happening, your eye starts to close, your eye closes, like everything goes through this cycle. We're conceived in the womb, we're born in at the end of water, we go through youthful growth during wood, we achieve our highest potentials and start to really express ourselves spirit-wise during fire. during Earth time, we start to really, we're all in our Earth zone now, right? We're all gathering all this stuff, all the karma from all the years of our lives. Then we move into old age, which is the metal time, and eventually we croak.
My name is Lynn. I'm your host of Living on Purpose. We're now going to go into a segment here. This is about 8 minutes long, and this is going to do a little tour, starting with the concept of the I Ching through to a little overview of Shinshin Do.
Ching are directly related to the organ meridians and the energy flows that we work with in the five element theory. And it's very interesting. The Ching is a doorway. It's an actual way to contact the subconscious and the intuitive side of the world. You really have to go back to the whole yin-yang principle when you're looking at this Taoist cycle, because it's all based on the interaction between the positive and negative, or the light and the dark, however you want to look at those polarities. And the I Ching, of course, is all set up upon that, because when you cast the coins or throw the rods or whatever, it's all based on broken lines and positive or yin and yang, which sets up the hexagrams. The real function of the Ching is to turn over the conscious experience to the subconscious, so that you can get in touch with the subconscious part of the world, which is half of what's going on. You know, we think that this conscious thing that, you know, we generate and attempt to create here is what's happening. And it's a very small part of what's really happening. Like, the subconscious is what's running the show. And the I Ching is a way of contacting the subconscious. Now, I've developed a card deck called the Danu deck, which is another way of contacting the subconscious. I'll give you a reading, actually, in a while. And it's a card deck that's designed around the names of the acupoints. It's based on the five elements and the organ meridian theory. So I give you the card deck, you shuffle it up, we do a reading, and there's where you're at in the moment, right there on the table. And I can look at that and just read you like a book. Oh, looky here, look at all these earth issues you have. Yeah, a lot of metal. Oh, geez, you're dealing with a lot of metal and earth issues right now, right? Which gives me a format to do a session on. I've pretty much given up all other forms of assessment and just moved into using the card deck, because it's a direct connection with your subconscious. Sure. And it tells me exactly what's going on. I know, it's scary. Yes. The Ching is a form of assessment. It's a divining tool. There's a lot of ways to do that. In our discipline, we use pulse reading. There's 12 different pulses in your wrists that we read. We also assess your body just by feeling different energy meridian flows. The main difference between Jinshin Do acupressure and other modalities of body work, Jinshin Do is founded and based in what are called the extraordinary vessels, or the strange flows. And this is an energy management system that is a connection between your body energies, which are mostly channeled through the 12 organ meridians, and the cosmic universal energies. And your connection between your body energies and the cosmic energies is through the extraordinary vessels. So what we do is adjust your connection with the universal energies, and this filters down and adjusts the energies within your system. This is very magical stuff we're talking here. The foundations of this work go back 12,000 years in China. Like, all of the modern acupuncture derives from acupressure. The original work was all done in acupressure. Mm-hmm. The use of needles and the dependency on needles in modern day what's called traditional Chinese medicine is all about expediency. Mm-hmm. There's definitely some areas that can be reached in the body with needles that it's more difficult to reach with acupressure. This is not a real problem, because the nature of our work in Jinshin Do is to work with the emotional body. Like, your physical body is merely a reflection of what's happening with body energies, with cosmic energies, with your spiritual energy, and with your emotional energy. And this reflects in the body. The body is sort of the last one to get the message, you know? All physical body symptoms are a reflection of your emotional state. And that can be from this lifetime, It can be from past lives. It's not dependent necessarily on your current state of mind. Mm-hmm. There's these far-reaching implications that come from your early childhood and relationship. Like your relationship with your parents and your relationship with your siblings is far more important than what's going on in the office. Yeah. You know, I mean, this is what creates your basic modus operandi. It's what sets up your value systems, your expectations. It's what your subconscious works off of in order to create your reality. Well, what's going on in your world is the reflection of what was going on in your family. I mean, this is where your core values and your core belief systems are developed, is in those early relationships. One of the things that we do with Jinshin Do is that we go back and release the physical tensions that are holding the emotions that you have been caring for and cherishing ever since your earliest childhood. So by releasing those energies, by releasing that emotional tension that shows up as like aches and pains in the body, then you get to reassess and reconnect with those basic fundamental belief systems and thereby maybe make some changes and restructure. Yeah, restructure what's going on, bring it to consciousness. We take the Eastern acupressure theory, right? We work with the same points that your basic classically trained acupuncturist works with. Same points, same meridians. Only, of course, we use finger pressure rather than needles. We use that to release these energies. And then another part of our school, which is sort of unique, is that it's combined with Western philosophical endeavors. Carl Jung, Wilhelm Reich, some of these more current masters of working with the psyche. We can explore whatever comes up on the emotional plane in relationship to some of these classic modes, mm-hmm. those deeper subconscious aspects that appear. We work with those, bring those to light. In your traditional Chinese medical model, the release of emotions and contact with those earlier things is just sort of viewed as a byproduct. It's like there's no attention paid to those things. Getting in touch with early abuse situations is no more important to a TCM practitioner than, you know, saying ouch if somebody puts a needle in, and it's just not part of the gig. We really focus on exploring the emotional side of things and working with that.
And that's Tolling Jennings that you're listening to there. My name is Lynn. This is Living on Purpose. Tolling will be live on the phone within the next half hour. And now I'm going to play the segments of the reading that he did, which is how he does his initial diagnosis, overview of where the person is at. You'll hear all about that here in a moment. This music in the background, by the way, is by Michael Waters, who lives in Victoria, and the CD is called Famous in Mongolia.
The organ meridians, the name of the acupoints, and five-element theory. What we're going to do is do a five-element layout. This is a creation of myself and a lady named Diane Tucker, who lives over in Lanceville. She did the artwork. The images on here came from acupressure sessions. She got them during the sessions and in her dreams at night, and she started to draw mandalas. She's an awesome artist, as mm-hmm. you can see from these cards. So these cards represent the names of the acupoints. This is a triple warmer card. Triple warmer is a major organ meridian. It's a yang meridian. Silk bamboo hollow is represented by these bamboo shoots here. This is the outer frontier gate. This is qi well, different mm-hmm. names of the acupoints. This is soul strolling on veranda, the great bell, bubbling spring. So she drew up these cards. We collaborated in terms of the colors of the elements. She originally drew them the same designs, but in five different colors. Mm-hmm. Sort of an overall theme on the card was a different color. Mm-hmm. She cut the deck out, brought it to me, and said, here, figure out how it works. So over a period of years, and still to this day, am experimenting and figuring out how this deck works. So what I've laid out here is five cards. I've started in the wood position. Wood, fire, earth, metal, and water. Mm-hmm. This is the time of year we're in, so we started there. Mm-hmm. If we were in summer, I would have started up here.
Okay.
There's a possibility of five different colors around the outside edge. You can see here these have different colors around them. The angle of the card is significant, the position the card's in. The color ring tells you what element to look to where the influence is. There's also a whole flow to the reading that we'll get to in a minute here. Basically, what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you about the position that the card is in. Then we'll talk about the card itself, its design, the color tint around it, the angle that it's at. And then we'll sort of look at the influence. Now, what this card reading is all about is it gives me an opportunity to open up to my intuitive side. Like I'll start to do a standard kind of a reading, but eventually images are going to start to come out of here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start to get a feeling for what's going on and who knows where it'll go. Mm-hmm. Because what we're really doing here is you shuffle these cards, and as I laid it out, the subconscious actually shuffled the cards and mm-hmm. set this up. Mm-hmm. So in the wood position, which is this time of year, spring, it's about youthful endeavors. It's about getting going on your projects, making choices and decisions. Liver and gallbladder are the organ meridians and mm-hmm. the organs involved here. More important, it's about being in touch with your soul and making your choices and making the moves that you do in your life in relationship to what your soul is imparting. Mm-hmm. Your soul being the accumulations of your karma over the past however many lifetimes. And bringing that information here, now, right now, so that we can work on it to make sure that you're following the path that's going to fulfill your karma this time around.
Right.
Okay? That's your soul.
Okay.
Okay. That hangs out in this position. In this position, we have a triple warmer card, which is a fire card. And it's all about transformation and change. And this yellow circle around here is about earth issues. So it's things like where you're going to live, like you shared with me that tomorrow you're moving out of this place and back into the apartment or whatever. Mm-hmm. This is directly addressing those issues. Mm-hmm. These are big changes. Mm-hmm. And it's not just the fact that you're moving from A to B. Mm-hmm. It's that you're moving from this lovely, private, expansive space mm-hmm. back into the box. There's a lot going on here that's underneath the surface. Big issues around what you deserve, what you're willing to put up with, all that kind of stuff, you know, yeah. that underlying issues as to how come you have to live in the box and not in the big, expansive place? Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's rhetorical. That's the kind of questions that this
sure.
is bringing up. Okay. Mm-hmm. This yellow circle here says look over to the earth position mm-hmm. to see what the influence is. This is a really powerful card. This is a very strong statement. These other four cards are organ meridians. This is a strange flow card, which is the foundation of our school, right? Now, this happens to signify the conception vessel, which runs right up the front of your body here. It's the most yin channel in your whole body. With the exception of the conception vessel and the governing vessel, which runs up your back, all the other extraordinary vessels, they borrow points and energy flow areas from the organ meridians. Mm-hmm. The central channel, which this is the yin side of, has its own route, its own points and everything. And mm-hmm. it is action central. This is where the cosmic energy gets distributed, enters and gets distributed in your body. Mm-hmm. These are very psychic channels. This is very powerful stuff. This card, from where I'm reading it, in the earth position, is almost upside down. Now, this is very magical because what this is saying is that you really haven't got a clue what's going on here. You're in a transitional state of sort of like limbo. Mm-hmm. And the reason that's so powerful is because almost anything is possible.
Yeah.
I mean, you could rewrite your history today, you know, this evening, you could head back to Lanceville and set up a whole nother scenario. Mm-hmm. Now, this is around you as a woman. This is around your power. I'm saying that because of this card. This mm-hmm. is around your power. There's an awesome opportunity here for you to choose a whole new scenario out in the world there. Mm-hmm. And this isn't actually going to be a conscious choice. This is going to be an opportunity that presents itself.
Yep.
Okay. That's what this transition's all about. I mean, it looks like moving from the spacious place back into the box, but there's much more going on than that. Okay.
Yeah.
Fire position up here. The fire position is about four meridians. They're the heart, the pericardium, the small intestine, and triple warmer. This is a fire card here. The fire position is basically about whether or not you're in touch with your spirit. Spirit hangs out in the heart, like the liver is the home of the soul, which is your karmic debt. Mm-hmm. The spirit hangs out in the heart. Spirit is your guide to fulfilling your karmic debt. The spirit checks in with soul. You've got options. You've got opportunities, whatever they may be. And spirit says, soul, what's the right thing to do here in order to stay on the path to fulfill this karma? And soul says, yada-da-da-da. Spirit says to you, yada-da-da-da. And you say, well, I don't have the money. I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm too fat. I'm too weird. My mother wouldn't approve. The government wouldn't like it. My God, I think that's illegal, isn't it? Right?
Yeah.
And spirit goes, oh, for crying out loud.
Let's start again.
Let's try this. Well, no.
No.
No, spirit doesn't do that. No. Spirit gives you the straight goods right off the bat every single time. Mm. It's the first voice you hear. Mm. It's that voice that comes on and says, go for it, Lynn. And then that cage of monkeys, they jump in and give you all those really good reasons why you shouldn't do what you're supposed to do on your spirit path.
Yeah.
You know that story. Okay. So that's what hangs out here. Now, the other things in fire, this is relationships. Intimate relationships, relationships out in the world with the guys at Chili or the man on the street or whatever. Yeah. But intimate relationships, it's also about how you protect your heart and your spirit. And it's also about any creative acts you do out in the world. Mm-hmm. Any act of creativity is based in spirit energy. Mm-hmm. Okay. In that position, we have a kidney card, which is a water card, which is kind of a dampening effect, but this card has a red circle around it, which means there's no other influence on this. What this is saying, kidneys are all about support, willpower, vital chi, like kidney chi is like jing, essence energies generated by the kidneys. This is vital life power. You've got a lot of this, and you are really supported in choosing your spirit these days. Mm-hmm. It's really clear to you. You know what to do out in the world. Like, you're taking this job with Chili and doing these interviews and things. I mean, that is such a spirit thing for you. It cranks you up. Oh, you love to do it, right? You're really supported to follow your spirit here. Mm-hmm. And there's no other influence on this. This whole transition and transformation that's going on is right in tune with your spirit path. You're really supported to do this. Carry on, full speed ahead. In the earth position, earth is about stomach and spleen. It's about autumn, harvest, ripe everything, juicy, sweet. It's about inspirational energy. It's about that sort of sensual, passionate aspect of love and sex and artistic ability. And every time you took a picture and you went, oh, wow, look at this one. Oh, it's a winner. That spleen energy that gives you the eye to set up a picture. Mm-hmm. It's more about family nurturing, your definitions of nurturing that come from early family life and whatever. You know, I mean, somebody who's had a real scarce upbringing, not enough food, yet all they see is food. Somebody who had lots of food but never had any love, all they seek is love, you know?
Sure.
So it's about your attitudes around nurturing and your ability to give and receive nurturing, what your definition of nurturing is. And in this position, you have a conception vessel card with a green circle around it. Like, you can rewrite what nurturing looks like to you. You can open to abundance. You can now shift your whole definition of who you are. You're in your 49th year. I mean, 50 is a huge transitional period. You don't have to prove anything to anybody anymore.
No.
You know? Mm-hmm. You've either been there, done that, or you're not going to get there and do that. You're probably not going to make it onto the Canadian women's swimming team.
You know? Well, I was a swimmer.
Well,
not
there
impossible.
You go. Okay, you see what's happening now?
I swam 4 lengths in under a minute. Wow.
You see what's happening?
59 seconds.
Well, I just picked up on your whole swimming aspect in your
that's right.
Career as a swimmer. Just jumped right out of
there. Telling me something I couldn't do, and I said, well.
Exactly. Exactly. So this is how this deck works. Mm-hmm. Like, all of a sudden, we're working on a whole nother level now. Mm-hmm. We're working on you as an accomplished athlete and being able to pick that right out of the ether.
Yeah, interesting.
Interesting.
That was something I didn't tell you.
That's true. So this is about empowerment as a female. This is exactly about being able to do 4 laps under a minute. And that must stoke you right up.
Oh, yeah. It's
of course.
One of my favorite accomplishments.
Exactly. Yeah. It's huge. And that's part of this whole transitional energy here. Like, your vision of yourself as a female, as a powerful, functioning female out in the world, is based on that kind of information. Mm-hmm. There's a transformation that's going on here involving that's going to take a step back from there. It's the knowledge behind that that really gives you the strength. I mean, you manifest it through your swimming, but even without the swimming, mm-hmm. you'd still be a really powerful female. Mm-hmm. And like claiming that power in the world is a lot about what this transition's about. This is the metal position. Metal is about lung and large intestine. It's about opening up to new opportunities, letting go of the past, you know. It's that whole process of moving through or not. It's also a lot about being stuck and hanging on to the past and hanging on to old information and living in the box. Mm-hmm. Not in terms of, you know, like in metaphorically speaking, mm-hmm. you know, creating barriers that hold you in a place, you know, I'm too old, I'm too young, whatever, mm-hmm. that keep you locked in a particular position. It's also that process of breaking out of those barriers, like you did when you left your family. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
It didn't matter where you landed. I got to get out of here.
Oh, yeah.
This is oppressive. They don't know who I am. They don't see who I am. That's the metal process.
Right.
Okay. Now, the important thing about this zone, like this is the soul. Soul hangs out here. The spirit hangs out here. This has got a lot to do with your self-image and your basic definition of who you are. Mm-hmm. This is where your willpower and your courage hangs out.
Mm-hmm.
The courage to break through those barriers, the courage to, you know, to transform and change.
Mm-hmm.
This is also where your connection with your higher self,
mm-hmm.
your connection with your guides or with whatever it is that you go to for inspiration and mm-hmm. for the straight goods. This is your connection there.
Okay.
In this position, you have a stomach card, which is an earth card, with a yellow circle around it, which is an earth color. So this is like a double whammy.
Mm.
This is in the metal position. And what this is saying is you get an opportunity here to redefine who you are, to redefine what nurturing looks like to you. And it's not about the outer world. This is about your inner world.
Mm-hmm.
You say you've got
mm-hmm.
this, you know, this program where you're doing your exercises in the morning and,
mm-hmm.
you know, pumping up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just one aspect of this new definition of who you are. Like, this is going to be profound in your life. We're not talking changing your socks here, you know. We're talking transforming how you see yourself in the world. And this is who it's going to be. This is the influence. This yellow circle says, look to here to see what the influence is on this transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And the influence is you claiming your power in a big way, like really claiming your power. This is going to create a transformation in the way you see the world, in the way you see yourself. And it's going to give you huge courage to carry on and claim who you are. How are you feeling right now?
Oh, I'm really excited. Yes, yes. I knew it.
Exactly.
My name is Lynn. This is Living on Purpose. Thank you for listening, and we'll just carry on with the last segment of this reading, and then we'll be getting tolling on the phone.